Daniel 2, starting in verse 31, we will go to verse 45. End time dream. You looked, O king. Well, let me preface this. You know, we've had a couple of weeks where Gary did an excellent job in bringing the word, and I really appreciate that. There's a lot of meat that's going to be given out in the weeks ahead for us, at least in helping us converse with the unsaved or even with believers who have an escape mentality. You know, we're not going to escape. We're going to be busy about Father's business, and when it's time for us to leave, we will leave that up to Him, but we will be about Father's business. Verse 31, Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that the king had given out an edict stating that he had had a dream. It was so bad that this dream literally consumed his thought life. And in consuming his thought life, he forgot what the dream was. But it was so upsetting that he said to his astrologers, his wise men, his sages, magicians, whoever it was, he wanted to know what the dream was, and he wanted to know what it meant. And he told the magicians and all that if you could not do this, you would forfeit your life. And so, of course, there was a great woe going on there. And Arioch, who was the king's captain of the guard, was to dispatch these individuals who could not meet the demands of the king. When it came to Daniel's ear, he asked for time. He went to the king and he said, look, give me some time, and I will find out and give to you the request. And so he went to God. Remember, he went to God, and he had a prayer service, and they began to seek God. And in seeking God, God gave him not only the dream, because it originated with God, but also the meaning. And then once that had happened, they went into a praise service. Remember? Okay, so now here we are. Daniel is now going to present King Nebuchadnezzar with this end-time vision. That's a lot today. And he says, oh, look, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, and awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. And in your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. And after you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, the third kingdom, one of bronze, will roll over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things into pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly made of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. The toes will be partly iron and partly clay, so that the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw that the iron mixed with the baked clay, so the people will be mixed and will not remain united. And more of the iron mixes with any more with as the iron mixes with the clay. And in the time of those kings, the king of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true. The interpretation is trustworthy. Daniel is stating to King Nebuchadnezzar the awesomeness of his kingdom. And he starts with it, and if you look in your chart, you can see that at the top it talks about the Gentiles. And Christ said at the age of the Gentiles. We are now coming to the very end of the age of the Gentiles. And what that means is the heathen nations of the world have ruled this world under demonic influence. And so thereby, Daniel is trying to interpret to the king what is happening. And we see that these kingdoms are real, and we know by history what these kingdoms are. And we'll see in Daniel 7 and 8, starting next week, how Daniel had gotten even a greater revelation and how the end time is going to move. We're going to understand fully what is going to be spoken of in the Revelation so that we can articulate clearly to those who are outside looking in, or those who have an escape mindset of, you know, we're just going to sit here and wait for Jesus to come. No, we're not going to sit. We're going to be about gathering in our Father's harvest so that His house may be full. You know, some of us watering, some of us sowing, some of us planting, but God giving the increase so that His house can be full. Amen? Karen, would you like some water? So we understand it in the symbolism of what's going on. We have the kingdom or divinity through gold. We know silver talks about a redemptive process. We know bronze is talking about judgment. Iron, it is talking about the rigidity. And clay, of course, you know how things become malleable. But yet when it becomes dried out, it becomes very, very brittle. And Daniel is trying to give the king the idea and understanding that his kingdom, kings in those ages thought that they were of divine existence and they were to be worshipped as God. And so Daniel was telling him in not so certain terms that eventually he's going to die. His kingdom is going to end. And there's going to be another kingdom that's going to raise up. And then there's going to be a third kingdom and a fourth and a fifth kingdom. But this fifth kingdom will resurrect itself again and to the end time kingdom. Okay? And so what we have here is that God in the last days is going to have Christ return. The rock is going to return, and He's going to smash this kingdom that is actually worldwide. He's going to smash this kingdom, and as His influence and His power, of which we are His kingdom, because the kingdom dwells in us, it will subdue the whole world, and God will rule and reign. And of course, I don't want to go into the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ at all. Read that for yourself. You'll be a lot smarter in seeing it. You guys are a lot more intelligent than me. I have to study. So there's a ton of stuff. But let's look at each one according to history. The gold head represents the Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. And history tells us that this empire existed from 625 to 539 BC, roughly about 86 years. The empire ended under the rule of Belshazzar. He was the great-grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel 5, we see that the kingdom of Babylon is destroyed. And that's where we see where the God wrote the mene, mene on the wall. And Daniel came in and gave the interpretation. And the next kingdom that came in was the Medes and Persian kingdom, which that night they actually conquered Babylon or Babylonia. Okay? So the silver and chest and the silver on the chest and the arms is now the Medo-Persian. The arms, of course, there's two types of rulers in this. They are united in the presence of what is to be done. This kingdom lasted from 539 to 331 BC, roughly a little over 200 years. And what was renowned about this kingdom in comparison to the Babylonian kingdom? Babylon flowed in gold. They flowed in gold. Everything was of gold. They did the best in everything. Unfortunately, their worship of pagan gods was really what was destructive about that. There was a lot of debauchery and stuff. In this kingdom of the Medes and Persians, it was exemplified with gold, silver. Silver was what they paid their taxes in. And so this kingdom was renowned for all the silver that flowed in it. And it was an inferior kingdom. It expanded further than what the Babylonian kingdom was, but it was inferior not only in wealth, but also in glory. We really don't know a whole lot about what was going on in there. We do know that Scripture tells us that Darius, who was the Medes, and Cyrus was of Persia, was an uncle-nephew relationship that ruled together this empire. And we can read further in Isaiah 44, verses 28 through chapter 45 through verses 4. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. Ezra 1:1-3, chapter 6, verse 14, Jeremiah 25, verses 11-12, and Jeremiah 29:10. All these affirm that the destruction of Babylon was coming, even that Cyrus was made mention of as the king who would bring an end. That was roughly about 200 years before Cyrus was even born, that Isaiah prophesied this. Then we go to the bronze in the belly and thighs. And if you look down further, you can see that this is the Bronze Age. And we know that this was Alexander the Great. The Greeks were tremendous bronze workers. And what was renowned about this kingdom was that their shields, their swords, their shin protection, their breastplates, their helmets were all made of brass or bronze. And they glistened. They always attacked from west to east. Why? Because when the sun shined on it, it blinded their enemies. And so Alexander was a very good tactician. He always tried to utilize the sunshine against his enemies. Needless to say, his kingdom stretched from Greece to India. And on his way back, he stopped at Babylonia, in Babylon, and he proclaimed that Babylon was to be his capital, of which in a celebration, he took fever and he died in there. His kingdom was then divided amongst his generals, of which you can see that there is a division. And his civilization was renowned for all the bronze work that they did. But again, Daniel 7 and 8 will continue to give us revelation further into this kingdom. From there, we go to the next one, which is the legs of iron. And this teaches us, and we know historically, that this is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire existed from 200 BC to 423 AD. It existed longer than that, but the full girth of its ascendancy was within this time frame. And Rome was known to rule with an iron fist, thereby we talk about iron. We know that the kingdom was divided, speaking of the two legs. In some depictions, it shows the legs together. Some depictions show the legs sort of apart, like this depiction. In either case, it talks about a Western and an Eastern empire, but they were united in the purpose of what was going on. Unfortunately, the Eastern empire fell first, and then eventually there was an eradication of this kingdom or empire. But this empire did not go away. We see that. We look at the clay and the iron. coming down to the end of the feet, in which the clay and the iron together speaks of the end times. This is a mock-up of the full human history. This will be a very short time in human history that will happen. I believe we are in those days as we speak right now. The biggest thing about this empire, which I will call the Antichrist Empire, is the mixing. The mixing of two dissimilar elements. They don't seem to have any kind of cohesion, but they are put together. And God speaks a lot about mixing. And He hates mixing. He hates the mixing of our doctrines in such a way that there is no purity in it. He hates the mixing of peoples, in not men and women, but He hates it because of the Jews when they were mixing with the Gentiles. It loses its purity, you know. And it speaks to us in these last days that if we are really God's people, we should not be mixing with the world's system and entities of it. And so that's why He says to the prophets, come out of that, my people. Come out of that. Some of the scriptures that may give you an idea as to what God's talking about this mixing is Isaiah 1:20 talks about the wine being mixed with water. When you mix water with wine, you lose the potency of the wine. You lose flavor. You lose a lot of things that normally if you just drank the wine, you would have. Hosea 7:8 talks about how Ephraim mixed with the Gentile nations. He married his people married the heathen. And that upset God because we're either His people where we should marry amongst ourselves, believers with believers, not believers with make believers. And the church has to come to understand that within the scope of the church, there is a mixing that God is not happy with. Okay? We can't mix our theologies with other people. We're either going to stay with the purity of the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in the truth, or we're going to corrupt it with our humanistic thinking, of which God is not real happy with. In Exodus 12:38, He talks about a mixed multitude. In Leviticus 19:19, God warns us not to be mixed. And you can go further and further into it, understanding that God is not joking with us when He's talking about us mixing. And really what I think God is saying here is that we really need to come out of this world system. If we're really going to lay hold of what God is saying, there has to be some validity to our faith. We're either going to trust God all the way, or we're not going to trust Him at all. And of course, yesterday we were talking about you know, you're going to sacrifice or you're going to compromise. It's that mixing that we're talking about. The toes are the shortest part of the body, and it speaks to us once again about this empire that will fully manifest itself, but in a short period of time will it exist. And some theologians think that it speaks of the Roman Empire, which I believe also. And this Roman Empire that was destroyed will be reassembled by 10 people groups. And that was the Huns, the Vandals, the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, the Suevi, the Anglo-Saxons, the Visigoths, the Burgundians, Lombardians, and the Franks. All these people groups are today made up of Europe as we know it. That is really what the people groups were. And each of these people groups assaulted Rome until they got real smart and they united against Rome. And eventually Rome fell, even to the points where the Huns were coming in from the west to the ultimate destruction of Rome. These are all forerunners of the end time as to what God is saying to us. And it speaks of the Antichrist Empire according to Daniel here in verse 41-42, Daniel 7, verse 7, Daniel 7, 20-24, Revelation 12:3, Revelation 13:1, Revelation 17:3, 12, and 16. Okay? The problem was that the Jews did not understand about the kingdom. When Jesus and John the Baptist were preaching about the kingdom, they did not understand. Their scope of understanding was not a spiritual kingdom. They understood about a material kingdom. They understood that this kingdom could be obtained through militaristic, materialistic, and humanistic means. Jesus is telling us that this is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God will come from heaven. The invisible will be made visible. And it will be made in a way that the Jews will finally understand. And because they did not understand, they rejected Jesus and they rejected his message of the kingdom now. And if a lot of you are listening to the radio, a lot of men of God are teaching about the kingdom. So this is not by accident. You know, we are prophetically advancing in preparation for this end move of God. You can go to any Christian station and someone is going to be teaching about the end times. Okay? We're teaching about the last kingdom. We're preparing for the establishment of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his millennial reign upon the earth. It is the destiny of the church to preach the kingdom. The kingdom, not the king. Remember when I did that kingdom series? I had said to you guys that you know, the world the world is not interested in the mayor of Atlantic City. They want to know about Atlantic City. They want to know what the attractions are. They want to know where they can eat. They want to know all the hot spots to have fun and all in there. They want to know what the benefits and all are. You guys carry the kingdom within you. Preach the kingdom. Live kingdom. If you don't know what that is, come and sit with me. I will tell you what that is. It's not really that difficult. You don't have to wait to the great by and by for the kingdom to manifest. The kingdom is within you. You are the ark carrying the kingdom. You have the tablets or the law written upon your heart now. You have the manna or the word of God dwelling within you. And your life is producing fruit just like Aaron's rod did. All are contained within the ark. Amen? You are the kingdom of God. Now we can believe that nothing exists unless God wills it. And it is God's will for this end time kingdom to be resurrected. This confederacy to come about. And we see, even in the small ways, we see the turmoil that is about to come upon the land. Greece has been declared insolvent. Okay? What does that mean to us? Because they are in an anti-God system, they have used money in such a way that they don't have enough money to pay for what they want done. The kingdom of God is totally the antithesis of that. God always supplies our needs. God always gives to us what we need. And so what the world, the wisdom of men is trying to do is now what they will do is they will lend monies that they themselves do not have in order to fund the crisis that is in this country. Well, if you understand, and I believe because in 1990 God spoke to me that the false prosperity of this nation is about to come to an end, and it has been 20 years since that time, that we're living in the same thing, that our politicians are leading us not only down the same road, they are plunging us down that same road, because the word of God says that in the last days, Israel will stand alone. We are the only friend of Israel. And this administration is quickly eradicating that. It is because God is allowing a strong delusion to come upon the land to think that man's answers to the problems are going to remedy it. And we know that with a fact of life that that will not happen. We are, I believe, right at those ankles where that line shows. today. I believe that this manifestation of this confederacy is about to come. I believe Antichrist is about to be revealed, which we should not be afraid. We should rejoice because our King is coming, and He will establish His kingdom upon this earth. When people talk about Revelation, you should be able to whip this thing out and be able to use it as a scale to show them historically what has happened. Everything that God gives to us is to help people come to understand and realize that without Him, there's no hope. For us, in working the kingdom and living the kingdom and believing what God has told us about the kingdom, people are seeing that there's something different. Whether Dan being a nice guy, or Nolan doing something, or Karen's family coming, or Ken ministering to his in-laws and outlaws. What we have to understand is that this is going to come upon the land. How can I say that? Because I know that there was a Babylonian Empire, which is gone. I know that there was a Medo-Persian Empire. It is gone. I know that there was a Greek Empire. It too is gone. I know that the Roman Empire existed, but there is tremendous influence still from that empire that is here in modern day, in our modern day societies. So if those things are accurate, and they are, what makes us not think that this last confederacy is not going to come to pass? God has told us over 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, that this was going to come. And now it's here. And people are getting a little nervous. They talk about end time. They hear about the volcanoes. And they're hearing about the earthquakes. Church, we should get excited. We know the end is almost here. Jesus said, when all this stuff is going on, look up. Look up, for then your salvation will come. I don't know about you. I'm not only excited about what God's about to do with streams, but I'm excited about what He's about to do through the world. And if we hold on to Him just enough, people will realize that, you know what? What you have to share, the reality of your walk with Jesus Christ, is enough to bring them to a saving knowledge and maybe bring them to repentance. You see, we're not into converting people. We're into making them disciples. And so every person that comes in, we need to give them the foundations. We need to help them become. You see, they're like little children. You guys are going through your foundations. You need to understand, because you know what? Your friends don't believe. Or they may believe and don't have an understanding. The more you understand, the more you're able to help them. More you're able to help your family come to a realization that this isn't religion. This is happening before our eyes. What a great honor. Jesus said, many men, many a prophet, wished that they could see my day, and they did. And many of them see our day. And there are this great cloud of witnesses that we have in heaven that are encouraging us that, you know what, don't give up. Don't give up hope. Stand fast. Move on this thing. This thing is going to come. As Daniel said, the word is true and the interpretation is sure. Church, we are right there. That there's still time that has to be utilized. We all have the same amount of time. It's how we use it or abuse it. And I want to encourage you, invest your time. Invest your time into the Word. Invest your time in your groups. Invest your time. You know, if people don't understand, I am willing to invest my time into you. We just don't want to waste it. It's absolutely right. You know, when it's no different than the teaching about the water. When you put your foot in the water, it's there. But when you take it out and put it back in, it's different water. Why? Because it's past. I mean, it's very simple, but But you want to seize the opportunity when you have the opportunity, not hope that you have a second chance. Amen? Father, we thank you for Daniel. We thank you, God, that the interpretation is sure. I thank you, God, for this little graft that we're able to have. That, Father, I pray that we look at this thing and we see, God, that you stirred somebody's heart to write this stuff down. We're looking at it, God, and we're going to run with it. As you said it according to Habakkuk 2:2. Father, give us understanding. Give us wisdom in these things, God, so that we may articulate not only speaking to the kingdom, but live this kingdom lifestyle for you, God. God, there's people out there that are looking for the reality of faith, not just some sort of tinge of it, God. God, use streams in this location and around the world, God, to win souls to you, God. There's nothing more important than winning souls at your house before, God. You died for the world. Help us to win our portion of it, Lord. So, Father, as we go forth today, God, may you be glorified. And, God, lead us. Lead us to those who you are calling to, God, that they may come into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.